How is it that we have one holiday called Passover and another holiday called Easter? And should we celebrate one or the other or both?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So how in the world did we get from Rabbi Yeshua, Miriam's son, celebrating the Passover, dying at the time of the Passover season, and rising in conjunction with the celebration of first fruits, sending his spirit on the Jewish holiday of Shavuot, the biblical holiday of Pentecost or weeks? How did we get from Rabbi Yeshua and Passover to Easter bunnies and Easter eggs and a separate holiday celebrated at a separate time of the year called Easter? Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. We're going to talk about Passover and Easter, but in a constructive way. I may offend a few sensibilities when I raise some issues, but it's only to get us in a God-glorifying, Jesus-Yeshua-centered mode, not to bash groups. And ultimately, so you know where I'm coming from first, if your celebration of this time of the year glorifies the death and resurrection of the Son of God and centers on him and is tied back into biblical roots and history, praise the Lord, you are not, I am not in the least bit put off by if you call it Easter or not. However, if you have cut things off from Jewish roots, if you don't recognize the prophetic significance of the Feast of Passover and how it ties in with the death and resurrection of Jesus, if you are into Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and not centered on Jesus, something is amiss. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. On Facebook, you can interact at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Now, I would love to hear from you today. We're going to talk this through. All of you who believe that we should celebrate everything having to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus within the Passover season, in conjunction with the Jewish community worldwide celebrating the Passover, those dates that we should be celebrating it, calling it the Passover time, calling it the time of Messiah's death and resurrection, and doing it within that Passover command, Passover season, tell us why. In other words, there shouldn't be something called Easter Sunday. There shouldn't be something called Good Friday. It's just part of the Passover season when Messiah died and rose from the dead. 866-34-TRUTH. If you feel that, yes, all the believers were Jewish and Jesus himself is Jewish and the Passover season was the prophetic time of his death, the prophetic and historical time of his death and resurrection, but that has now moved us into this glorious era for all people, Jew and Gentile alike, where we celebrate his death always on a Friday and celebrate his resurrection always on a Friday, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, and to tie it back in with the Passover is going backwards. If that's your view, that these are things God has given, and we have moved now into this. 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, thank God for the Passover. That was commemorating something in the past, Jewish history. Now we move forward into the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's where the focus is to be. Let there be a Good Friday. Let there be an Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Call it what you want. Yeah, the Easter eggs, the Easter bunnies and that stuff. That can go. However, the fact of the matter is, we need to center on Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, and this Passover stuff is going backwards. If you hold to that view, 866-34-TRUTH. Here's what I'm going to do on the broadcast today. I'm going to lay out for you why it is that it's important to recognize the Jewish roots of the Messiah's death and resurrection, okay? I'm going to lay out for you the prophetic significance of the biblical calendar, and we're going to discuss how we should live these things out today as believers in the Messiah, Jew, Gentile, maybe different for each, maybe the same. We'll talk about it. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll take your calls. We'll talk it through right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about Passover and Easter today on The Line of Fire as we come into the celebration less than a week from now, the beginning of Passover, and then the celebration of what is called Good Friday and Easter Sunday in the church world, some days after that. How is it that these days got separated in the first place? I mean, wasn't it one and the same holiday? How did we end up with two separate things called Passover and Easter? 866-34-TRUTH. Should we be celebrating Passover today, but remembering the Messiah in the midst of it? Should we be celebrating Easter? Should we be celebrating a combination of the two? 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. If you click on The Line of Fire, you'll see relevant resources for today. Let me get a few facts out to you, and then I'll take some of your calls. In the general world of religion, people associate Passover with being a Jewish holiday and Easter with being a Christian holiday, and they're two separate holidays in many people's minds, which, of course, is bogus as far as history and origins. The word Easter never occurs in the Bible. You say, no, it does. Yeah, it does in a mistranslation in Acts chapter 12. Every translation has errors in it. Yeah, that's the truth, because human beings are doing the translating. No translation is perfectly inspired. Call and argue with me on that all you like. You won't win that argument. Sorry about that. However, in Acts 12:4, when it mentions Easter there in the King James, that's a mistranslation. It should be Passover, as even the New King James says, the Passover. And we know in the New Testament that the death of Jesus, even for Gentile believers, was explicitly associated with Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. So Corinthians, being Gentile believers Paul is writing to, he wrote, Messiah, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And it says, let us therefore keep the feast of unleavened bread. Passover and unleavened bread is what will be celebrated in a few days in the Jewish community around the world. So how did we get this one? Jesus dies, Messiah, Passover lamb, sacrifice for us, keep the feast of unleavened bread. Whether Paul was speaking metaphorically to the Corinthian believers or not is not the issue. The issue specifically is that he was clearly associating Messiah's death with the Passover, which of course is clear, explicit. Somebody dies during the Passover season. We all understand that. What does John the Immerser, John the Baptist, call him in John 1:29? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's no argument about the roots of it. But unfortunately, despite Paul's warning to the Gentile believers in Rome in Romans chapter 11, Gentiles and Jews having equal access to God through Jesus, Gentiles and Jews being fellow members of the larger assembly, the ecclesia, the church, the messianic congregation, Gentiles and Jews not being higher, lower, but equal status in the Messiah, still, there are Gentiles and there are Jews, just like there are men and women. It doesn't affect our status in God, but there are males and females, and there are Jews and Gentiles in the body. And Paul in Romans 11 addresses the Gentile believers in Rome and says to them that I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. It'll become arrogant. And part of the warning is don't boast against the roots. Don't think we're the new boys in town and we have displaced the roots and Israel, the Jewish people, no longer relevant. We've displaced them. He says, no, don't think that way. Otherwise, you become arrogant and you yourselves will be cut off. In my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, which came out in 1992 and has been continuously in print ever since, never gone out of print. It's been translated into more languages than any book I've ever written. When it went to Chinese a few years ago, the Chinese translator emailed me and said, I'm translating it wailing and screaming. That's how much pain it caused him to read some of the horrific quotes and acts of professing Christians in church history, including some of the best-known leaders, anti-Semitic acts, anti-Semitic words by some of the best-known leaders in church history. I'll get back to that in a moment. What happened? The church cut off its Jewish roots. I'm not saying that Gentile believers in Jesus are supposed to become traditional Jews. Quite the contrary. Nor am I saying that a Jewish person who comes to faith in Jesus should become a traditional Jew. Quite the contrary. I'm saying we should recognize the biblical Jewish roots of the New Testament faith and see a continuum versus a contrast. Not traditional Judaism, not traditional Christianity necessarily. A continuum of the biblical faith. So here's what happened. Dr. Mark Kinzer notes this, and I cite him in my book, What Do Jewish People Think About Jesus? At the end of the second century, a controversy arose that manifested the desire of the Gentile ecclesia, the Gentile church, to break free from all Jewish connection and influence. The point of disagreement was this. So the Gentile ecclesia commemorate the death and resurrection of Yeshua on the 14th of Nisan, when the Jews celebrate the Passover, which is going to be late March, early, late April, depending on the dates. Those who said yes recalled the quarto decimans from the Latin word for 14th, their practice likely derived from the early Jewish believers. The small communities of Jewish Yeshua believers in the second century almost certainly maintained this custom. In other words, they followed the Jewish calendar with the rest of their community, and whenever the Passover was, that's when they would celebrate death and resurrection of Jesus, as opposed to a fixed Friday and a fixed Sunday. The problem came from the fact that the Gentile ecclesia of the province of Asia, in Asia Minor, was quartodeciman and claimed that their practice was of apostolic origin. So there's now a debate. Do we follow the Jewish calendar and celebrate Passover and the resurrection of Yeshua at the same time, death and resurrection of Jesus at the same time, or do we break away and have a fixed day? So Constantine, in 325, says this: it was declared to be particularly unworthy for this, the holiest of all festivals, to follow the custom, the calculation of the Jews, who had soiled their hands with the most fearful of crimes and whose minds were blinded. And rejecting their custom, we may transmit to our descendants the legitimate mode of celebrating Easter, which we have observed from the time of the Savior's passion to the present day. We ought not, therefore, to have anything in common with the Jews. This is Constantine. For the Savior has shown us another way. Our worship follows a more legitimate, more convenient course, the order of the days of the week. And consequently, in unanimously adopting this mode, we desire, dearest brethren, to separate ourselves from the detestable company of the Jews, for it is truly shameful for us to hear them boast that without their direction we could not keep the feast. It would still be your duty not to tarnish your soul by communications with such wicked people, meaning Jews. You're talking about cutting off the roots, severing the roots, attacking the roots. That is exactly, precisely what happened in church history. Now, to explain again, the controversy was, do we follow the Jewish calendar and celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus in conjunction with the Passover dates, in which case you have to be relying on the Jewish community for the keeping of the calendar and the calculating of the dates each year? Or do we have a fixed time and we have our own dates? It's this Friday, it's this Sunday. Remember, December 25th, when people celebrate Christmas, that could be any day of the week. It's fixed on a certain date. Or Thanksgiving, the last Thursday of November, that can be a different date, but it's fixed on a day. So it could be either way. We have both customs. July 4th is fixed with a date. Sometimes it's the first, Monday of this, or Tuesday of, the Father's Day, Mother's Day, they're going to come on a Sunday. So we have both of those variations, but there was a decided effort made to break away and to celebrate, quote, Easter from Passover. So should we use the term Easter at all? Should we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus within the context of Passover? Are we going backwards with that? Is there a way forward? What should we do? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll start with Michael in Miller Place, Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Well, I think, now I was raised Catholic, but I am a born-again Christian, and I think that we should follow the Jewish calendar. Why? Because Jesus, he was the lamb that was slain. He represents the new Passover. I agree with you in what you've said about Constantine. I think he screwed the whole thing up, to be honest with you. Altogether, the point is moot. The bottom line is, Jesus did this. He said, it is finished. So I guess it's not that important what day you celebrate it. It's that you celebrate it at all. He did his work. But if you want to hold to tradition, I think that you should follow the Jewish calendar.
On it. All right. Hey, Michael, thank you for weighing in. And obviously, we agree that the death and resurrection of Jesus ultimately is what has to be central. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Let me just give you a very brief overview, and we'll get back to some more calls. Should we celebrate Passover, Easter combined as one? Is it wrong to even use the term Easter? Would follow the Jewish calendar, or is it best to have the fixed Friday, fixed Sunday? if something is sacred and special to you and doesn't violate Scripture, I'm not trying to mess with you. I'm not trying to mess with you. But I want to get you thinking in a certain direction, okay? So Messiah's death corresponds with Passover. This is the first major holy day on the calendar, Passover, then Feast of Unleavened Bread. His death corresponds to that. 1 Corinthians 5:7 makes it explicit. He then rises the day after the Sabbath, which immediately after the Passover in Leviticus 23 was now the celebration of first fruits. He rises at the time of first fruits, and Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 ties in the resurrection with first fruits. And then he sends his Spirit when? He sends his Spirit at Pentecost, Shavuot, the next major day in the biblical calendar. His return ties in with the biblical calendar as well. We'll talk about that and take your calls when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Talking about Passover, Easter today as we come into what is a sacred time of the year for Jews and Christians around the world. But why two separate holidays? And what about the Easter word? Easter word occurs by a mistranslation in Acts chapter 12 in the King James. It should say Passover, even the New King James remedies that. Easter eggs, Easter bunnies, I want to be candid with you and say I have no interest in that. I enjoy eating some of those solid milk chocolate Easter eggs, okay, but it has no religious significance to me. How in the world that ties in with the death and the resurrection of Jesus is beyond me. Oh, I know people are going to try to trace the origins of pagan roots and all this. I'm just saying how anyone could tie the two in is beyond me. It's such a sacred time. Such an extraordinarily sacred thing to remember. The Messiah, the Son of God, dies for our sins and rises from the dead. And we remember that not just in communion, whether it's weekly or daily or monthly or whatever your custom is with that, but especially at the time of the Passover season. So when and how should we celebrate? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. For a couple of years, I did a TV show called Think It Through. And you can watch some of the episodes online. We'll tell you about a special resource package we have with one of those episodes. And one of the most popular shows I did, these were documentaries done on the streets, different locations, New York City, Hollywood, different parts of the country. We do these shows on location, and we talk to people on the streets. Sometimes we'd have special guests. I'd present different materials. Fascinating Jewish outreach documentary. One of the most popular shows we did was called Is Christianity Jewish?, in which I interviewed a messianic leader, Sam Nadler, who is with Chosen People Ministries for years and is a congregational leader in the greater Charlotte area. If you live in the greater Charlotte area of New York, combining two. North Carolina, sorry, I was in New York for 9 days, my apologies. If you live in the greater Charlotte, North Carolina area, want to find out about messianic congregations, messianic celebration of the biblical calendar, how to understand Jesus in the midst of all this, check out Sam Nadler's congregation. But here's a conversation that Sam and I had on the Is Christianity Jewish? TV program that I did during our Think It Through series.
But you have, I mean, you do have, like, Easter services, right?
We wouldn't think of it. We don't think of Easter as being very relevant to what Bible teaches. You're not going to find Easter in the Scriptures. You're going to find Passover, though.
Well, what's Passover got to do with Easter? They're two separate holidays.
As it turns out, but the fact is that the Messiah died for our sins on Passover, and during that Passover week, there's another biblical holiday called First Fruits, and Jesus was raised from the dead on First Fruits.
So when you say biblical holiday, you mean a later Christian holiday that the church started?
Well, no, actually a holiday that's found in the Hebrew Scriptures and that Paul refers to when speaking about the resurrection of the Messiah.
By the way, you can get that TV show. It's a great 20-something minute TV show. So it's a half-hour show without the commercials. On DVD, it's a great tool, instructional, Is Christianity Jewish? And great to give to a Jewish person. You can get that together with my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, which contains some of the most eye-opening quotes about Jewish history, about anti-Semitism in church history. You'll understand why the historian Paul Johnson once referred to Adolf Hitler as the, once referred to Martin Luther as the John the Baptist of Adolf Hitler. My book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, and the Think It Through DVD, Is Christianity Jewish?, which contains that interview with Messianic Rabbi Sam Nadler that you just heard. If you give us a call at 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, our special resource package for today, which will be one of the most eye-opening that we've put together on Jewish roots and on Jewish Christian history. That's 1-800-278-9978. Okay, before I go to the phones, the Messiah's death corresponds with Passover. The Messiah's resurrection corresponds with first fruits. The Messiah's sending of the Spirit corresponds with Pentecost, Shavuot. You have a hiatus of roughly four months on the calendar, a big break of time. The next thing, what is it? First day of the seventh month, trumpet blast. What is the significance of trumpet blast? The Messiah's return, Matthew 24, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, Revelation 11th chapter. The Messiah's return corresponds to trumpets. 10 days later, what happens? Day of Atonement, that corresponds to the national cleansing of Israel, described in Zechariah 13. Followed by what? Tabernacles, Zechariah 14. All nations coming to Jerusalem to worship God in accordance with tabernacles. Don't tell me the biblical calendar is outmoded. I'm not saying everyone has to follow it in terms of daily observance, but everyone should recognize the prophetic significance of it and the recognition that that prophetic calendar of Israel still continues because God is not finished with Israel. All right, let me get your take, different positions here, beginning with Rich in Coram, also on Long Island, my old stomping grounds. No, Rich is gone. Charles in Baltimore, what do you say about the Easter concept?
This is Charles in Baltimore.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. The whole idea of Easter, which is still calculated by making it the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox, is an ancient Persian pagan holiday. It celebrated the Feast of Ishtar, the Babylonian goddess of fertility. And the word Easter is the Western world's pronunciation of Ishtar. So to me, that whole date setting should be completely thrown out the door. That has nothing to do with the Christian or the Jewish Passover.
Okay.
So I'm completely in favor of separating the word Easter and the date setting of the first Sunday after the first full moon and all after the vernal equinox. Get rid of that. Let the Persians, if they want to celebrate that, and when they celebrated this goddess of fertility, they brought her an egg and a rabbit. They were a symbol of life and quick reproduction. Women who couldn't have children would bring this to her altar and offer it as a sacrifice in order to get pregnant.
Got it.
And that has nothing to do with Christianity or Jewishness. So I'm in favor of celebrating it the Old Testament way of Passover.
Got it. All right, Charles, thank you for weighing in very clearly. I'm sure some listeners are saying, way to go, Charles, and others are very upset with what he had to say. But I was waiting for someone to call in with those very comments and observations. Hey, Donna in Germantown, Maryland, we're a little short on time, but I think you've got a little bit different take.
Well, I was just saying that I think of Paul, who said he wept over his brothers that were Jews, and he said, henceforth I know no man after the flesh. And the life that I now live, I live by the power of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ is our Passover. And if we're to be as he is, and he said, the wind blows where it will, and you can see the effects of it, but you don't know where it came from. I think that he's transcended all these things that can cause us to fight and fuss. I had never heard what you read over the air today about Constantine.
Yeah, hey Donna, listen, we're up against a break, but thank you for weighing in. Donna's point would be that we shouldn't divide here over the flesh ultimately, and that Jew and Gentile divisions are, in a sense, a thing of the past. How does that work out exactly? All right, we'll talk about it more.
Shake the It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire as we get ready for the Passover Easter season. I never use the word Easter, by the way. It may be sacred to you. I don't use it. I prefer to speak about Resurrection Sunday. And people refer to Good Friday. That's fine. I understand the significance of that. I just personally don't like to use the word Easter. One caller called in just end of the last half hour explaining what he understood to be the pagan roots of the name. Look, here's the deal. Today is Thursday, Thor's Day, right? So there is a pagan root to that. There are pagan roots, you know, Sunday, right? S-U-N, not S-O-N. I understand that there could be those pagan roots of names and terminology and all of that. And to the extent that's true with Easter, people can debate that. It doesn't convey anything to me. And I want to incorporate this into the larger Passover season during which Messiah died and rose from the dead. That's what's of significance to me. But if people want to have a separate Resurrection Sunday service, and that, okay, that's, I just want to call it Resurrection Sunday. Is that too big a jump? Is that like a bad thing? And want to put the emphasis on the fact that Yeshua died and rose as opposed to Easter egg hunts. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, before I get back to your calls, before I talk this through further, there has been a lot of attack against the people of Israel. Physical attack from Hamas, 150 rockets fired, and some more sophisticated armory than they've used before, apparently able to smuggle some more stuff in beyond what they were able to do before, perhaps with some of the chaos in Egypt. In any case, Hamas targeted a school bus, a clearly marked yellow school bus, critically injuring one 16-year-old boy that was on it. The driver was lightly injured. Many students had just been left off the bus before that. There had been a stop. Many got off. Israel would not target a school bus with Arab Muslim children. It would not, okay? And the people of Israel would be, there would be an outcry, an outrage within Israel throughout the populace, the likes of which you have never seen, if Israeli soldiers intentionally targeted a school bus with Palestinian children, with Arab Muslim children somewhere in the world, and tried to blow them up and destroy them. There would be an outcry. Jews all over America, there would be outrage. Where's the, for my Christian friends who have wrongly sided with the Palestinians and become anti-Zionist, either based on wrong theology or based on a wrong understanding of what's happening in the Middle East or a wrong sense of justice, do you understand the side you're siding with? Do you understand where the injustice is? You say, oh, what, the wall? I've been in Israel. The wall is there to keep murderers out. That's the only reason it's there. The only reason it is there is to keep murderers out. Where was the world outrage? Where were the Christian supporters of the Palestinians, anti-Zionist people? And by the way, I support the love of God and justice for everyone, all right? But where was the outcry when the Jewish family murdered in cold blood in their own home, mother, father, little children, three-month-old, throat slit, three-year-old, heart stabbed? Where is the outcry? You know, we need to recognize there's something more going on. There's a spiritual battle going on. There remains an attack against the Jewish people. And you can understand how one day Zechariah 12, Zechariah 14 will be fulfilled, where there will be a world coalition coming against Jerusalem. And only God will deliver the Jewish people out of that. I wonder what side you'll be on that day. Okay, stirring some things up. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're discussing Passover and Easter today. Should everything be combined into one celebration? We celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus during the Passover season. It's Passover for the Jews, Easter for the Christians. Should we change the terminology? That's what we're discussing. 866-34-TRUTH. Go to AskDrBrown.org at your earliest opportunity. Click on the Line of Fire. And when you click on today's show, it'll list a bunch of relevant resources for today's show. All right, back to the phone. Scott in Hanover, Maryland. Your take on this, sir?
My take on this. My name is Scott.
Yes.
This is one of the most, to me, one of the most controversial issues that I talk about with people in the body. I actually think that it should be one celebration because it's biblical of one celebration. Easter is not even mentioned in the Bible. But the problem is that, you know, in the body, in the natural, the Gentiles today have never been taught the Hebraic roots of the Bible, so it's very hard for them to understand, so the truth can't really set them free. So it's a process of educating the Gentiles in regards to that because, one of the biggest oxymoron questions we have is that we have a Jewish Savior, and it's taught in the body that we should be like him, but we don't be like him on the Hebraic root side. He celebrated all the feasts. He never celebrated pagan feasts. He never even addressed pagan feasts. I mean, you know, he called it the God. I mean, in the Old Testament, it was the God of Issachar. You know, that is Easter. You know, it has nothing to do with that. The problem is that after the ministry of Jesus, and then you got Paul and Peter, after the 4th century when Constantine changed everything, no one has really challenged it on the Gentile side if that's the truth or it's not the truth. So it's still as... So Easter is really celebrated as a tradition, but not as an understanding of the truth that from a scriptural point in who we are in God.
All right. Hey, Scott, I appreciate you weighing in loud and clear and with some passion on this. Friends, listen, if you differ, if you absolutely take issue with that, by all means, call in, okay? If you feel that things are being misstated historically, by all means, call in. I'm going to give both sides as much time as possible to weigh in both ways, all right? Carmen in Brooklyn, thanks for calling. All right, we lost Carmen there. Okay, tell you what, we'll take a question first. Anne in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, yes, how are you?
Good, very good, thank you.
Okay, first, just to address the Gentile issue, shouldn't he be saying the Christians? Because Gentile doesn't necessarily mean Christian. It means non-Jew, correct?
Yeah, he should have said Gentile Christians is what he should have said. Just to, like Paul in
right.
Romans 11 says, I'm writing to you Gentiles. Gentile can be used two ways in the Bible. It can be used in a negative way, meaning pagans don't
right.
live like the Gentiles live, the pagans live, or it can be used just in terms of the people of the nations. That's how Paul uses it in Romans 11. I'm writing to you Gentiles in as much as I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. So Gentile Christians, that's what he meant, but thanks for the clarification
okay.
there.
Well, the Christians do celebrate Easter. They think that is the resurrection, but I'm a little confused on something. Was Yeshua crucified on, was he crucified on the day of unleavened bread, or was he crucified the eve before?
No, it would have been... Passover Eve, the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the day following that.
So the Last Supper was, which is the Passover meal, would have been the night before that.
Right, the night before, but in Jewish way of thinking, that day, that's when it begins. So that would have been the Passover meal that begins the feast, which is then followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
So it was a three-day event.
No, it's a week-long event.
Right, no, I know that, but I mean the Passover feast which the Christians mistake as the Last Supper would have happened, let's say, on the 13th, and then on the 14th at 3 p.m., then Yeshua would have been crucified, and he would be the ultimate Passover lamb. Is that correct?
Well, here's the only thing you're thinking wrong. If you're thinking 14th of Nisan, that would have begun that night. The Jewish calendar starts in the evening, okay?
Right.
So the Jewish calendar, the 14th would have started that evening, and then that day would have been the day of death, which is still the 14th, if you're looking at
and
it like that.
And then when would Yeshua have been resurrected from the dead?
If it was a Friday, then it would have been on the 16th. So he would have been in the grave part of the 14th, part of the 15th, part of the 16th, hence the 3 days. But there's lots of dispute about the calendar issue, and I don't even go there personally. I don't worry about that. What I look at is the season. He died at the time of Passover season. He rose the first day after the Sabbath, which was first fruits. So I look at that and just don't get hung up. I don't fight with people say he couldn't have died on a Friday, had to be a Wednesday. I don't even get into that fight at all. I don't agree with it, but I don't even get into the fight. I think we need to concentrate on the reality of what happened.
Yes, I think that Passover, I think that the Christians should acknowledge that and celebrate the Passover, and the crucifixion on the proper day, which would be Passover. That would be the time to celebrate this. And then they want to have a family gathering on Easter Sunday and a remembrance of the resurrection of our Lord, then that's fine. That's a beautiful thing to
Got
do.
It.
But I think they should celebrate this along with their Jewish brethren on the Passover. I think they should observe the whole feast at the same
time. All right, all
and
clear.
That's
and
it.
Yep, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it very much. God bless you. Let me just give you a larger perspective. I think, for me, the ideal would be that, and this is large, I understand that, I know there are church traditions that are fixed, and Catholic and Orthodox and Protestant and all of that. To me, the thing that should happen is the same day that the Passover is celebrated on the Jewish calendar every year, okay, during that season, that is when the entire body should celebrate Messiah's death and resurrection. And if people still wanted to lock it in on a Friday, on a Sunday, because it's still not the same day he actually died, right? A Friday, a Sunday, then that's perfectly fine. If you want to do it a different time of the year, as some Messianic Jews would, that's fine. But why separate it? Why not celebrate the redemption out of Israel, of the people of God, the redemption out of Egypt from the people by the people of Israel, by the Lord? That redemption, and then within that, the celebration of Messiah's death and resurrection, culminating God's act of redemption and looking forward to a greater redemption of as more and more nations turn to the Messiah in the coming years. Why not? Why not combine everything together? Reverend Thomas in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Good, good. Dr. Brown, my point is this. And thank you for your program, because I listen to you almost every afternoon, and I like the way you are coming out with stuff with the queer things happening to America. I love that one, too. But
well, thank
what
you,
I'm
sir.
Saying is that we Christians shouldn't even be in a position to even debate when we should celebrate our Lord's death, resurrection and ascension. What Jesus did goes beyond whether you are a Jew or you are a Gentile. It is him establishing humankind, a bridge to the Father,
mm-hmm.
because he's the only way that anyone could go to the Father. So who has to accept whose perspective? Should Christians accept the Jewish perspective, or Jews to accept the Christian perspective? You know, who is right here? Are the Jews right that we should only accept the day of Passover and reject what Christians want to celebrate as Easter? No, to me, the magnitude of what Christ did for me as an individual is too big for me even to contemplate,
mm-hmm.
to argue with anybody when it should be done. By the way, Paul said in Romans chapter 11, that no one should convince you about a day or period or season of what anything should be done. So mm-hmm. long as you understand why Christ died, arose, and went to heaven to make a way for you, and you are living in you are living for him and him alone.
Reverend Thomas, thank you, sir, for the call. I am with you, sir, that the ultimate center focus must be the death and resurrection of Jesus. that if you recover Jewish roots and celebrate Passover, and the Passover holiday and the redemption from Egypt become central and not the death and resurrection of Yeshua, then you've gone backwards, not forwards. Instead of recovering roots, you've gone backwards. Instead of recovering something to help build up a stronger foundation. And yes, Romans 14, you could argue there that what day is not the issue. It's the condition of the heart before God. The death and resurrection of Jesus must be central. That's what I said at the outset as well. Thank you for the call, sir. Panthea, I'll get to you on the other side of the break here. And since a queer thing from Queer Thing Happened to America was mentioned, I'll tell you I've been on the phone with Amazon, and they've told me something fishy is going on with the reviews. I'll let you know about that. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Passover, Easter, two separate holidays, same holiday, change the terminology. What do we do, Jew, Christian, together, separate? Yeah, we're talking about that today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. There's a discussion you get into there. If you haven't become one of our commenters, bloggers, posters, by all means, do so. By the way, I have been teaching in Bible school, Bible college, seminary, and other settings for, close to three decades. And so I'm an educator as well as radio host and author and traveling speaker and debater and whatever else. Husband, father, grandfather, you know, the whole deal. Nice guy. Okay. I love to get more information material into people's hands. So we recently recorded my class on Jewish roots, about 12 hours of teaching for Fire School of Ministry. So it's a Bible college level class, 12 hours that you can study online at your leisure, get all the PowerPoint notes, the whole bit over 3 month period. It's really inexpensive. It's only $50 for the entire 12 hour course. I know if you just, it's less than you pay for half a credit or a quarter of a credit somewhere. But you can study that online with us by going to AskDrBrown.org. Just check on the bookstore online resources. You'll see it right there. If you become a monthly torchbearer, those who support our work, our radio broadcast, our worldwide outreach, our missionary programs, our Jewish outreach, with $25 or more a month, you get all of our online classes free. We've got a third one that's just been posted. We'll be telling you about that shortly. And other benefits. So if you want to become a monthly supporter, or if you want to take advantage of today's resource, which is Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, plus the TV show Is Christianity Jewish that I did interviewing Sam Nadler, Messianic Rabbi Sam Nadler, give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978 to become a monthly torchbearer or to take advantage of today's special resource offer. Panthea in Neptune, New Jersey, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, shalom, Shkavarim.
Shalom.
I agree with Scott 100%. The Bible specifically says, if a man is ignorant, let him stay ignorant. And my people perish for the lack of knowledge. As far as resurrection and Passover, really it should be one, because Satan got in there, and God never intended for the Christians to be separated from the Jewish people. That's where the one new man comes in, when he restores the tents of David. Jew and Gentile worshiping together as one new man. So, you know, these are like the effects we have to deal with and educate ourselves as Gentiles. You cannot love Jesus if you don't love the Jewish people. We are Christ-like. It's imperative that we understand our Jewish roots. What do you think is going to be happening up in heaven? If this is a copy of what it is in heaven, then I'm quite sure what you read in Revelations, you'll see it's a lot of Jewish things there. So it's imperative for the Christians or the Gentiles to come on board, learn your Christian, the Jewish roots, and prepare yourself. We should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem and really focus in and very prayerful about what's going on with prophecy right now. It's not time to, oh, this, that. No, we need to come and let that one new man get started, Jew and Gentile, worshiping together. We need to move forward because time is running down. The handwriting is on the wall, and we're going to have to grow up. We
All
have
right.
to remember.
Hey, I'm just a little short on time, so I'm jumping in, but I think you've probably got more to say, but thanks for weighing in. Obviously, the only way we can have this unity is through Jesus Yeshua. That the only way Jew and Gentile can come together as one is through Jesus, which is part of the miracle of what he's doing. Hey, thank you for weighing in. God bless you. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to squeeze in one more call. Marisol in Boston, we got to be real quick, but what's your take on all this?
I agree with you. I believe that the Christians, the Bible says that we Gentiles, the Christians, should have our eyes in Israel. I agree in celebrating the Passover, and I believe that the church should wake up and not celebrate Easter if it's not written in the Word. I agree with celebrating Resurrection Day, amen, because a lot of us resurrected through Christ Jesus. And I believe that Christians, the Gentiles, should teach our children the true meaning of Resurrection Day and not go out egg hunting, because that with what we're doing here is bringing up another generation in paganism. The church needs to wake up.
All right. Hey, thank you for weighing in loud and clear. Appreciate it. God bless you. All right. If you differ, my phone lines are open 5 days a week. And as we have opportunity to have you call in on Friday, is a good day to call in and differ with things we've talked about early in the week. Again, if you go to AskDrBrown.org, you'll find lots of relevant resources. Easiest way, click on the Line of Fire and click on today's show, and that'll get you the relevant resources. And the special package that we've put together, trust me, it will be eye-opening, edifying, perhaps even life-changing. My book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People, which has been translated into more languages than any book I've written. It's been read by Orthodox Jews who've been impacted and moved by it as well, Jews who don't believe in Jesus. It has brought many tears of repentance for many Christians around the world. Our Hands Are Stained with Blood also opens up the Jewish roots of the faith and God's future purposes for Israel. Together with my TV documentary, Is Christianity Jewish, on DVD, together at a special price. You can get it by calling us at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. I want to be as clear as I can. I want to be as absolutely clear as I can. On the one hand, Jesus was and is Jewish. He remains the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In terms of his humanity, he is a man. He is a Jewish man. He was a rabbi, not a reverend. His mother's name was Miriam, not Mary. His disciples were men named Yochanan and Yaakov and things like that. On the other hand, what is central is not his Jewishness in terms of our redemption. What is central is his death and resurrection. Yes, he came to fulfill prophecy and to a chosen people as a Jew, as a rabbi, as a teacher in Israel. But the significance is not that he was a teacher in Israel, but that he died and rose for us. Here then is my bottom line. There ought to be no separation between Passover and Easter on our calendars. And where there is a separation, let the church, yes, let the church join with the Jewish community and celebrate the Passover season, the death and resurrection of Jesus season, along with the Jewish Passover unleavened bread calendar. And let us emphasize not Easter egg hunts, but the Messiah's death and resurrection. And within the context of Passover, let us provoke our Jewish people to jealousy by showing them not only was there a redemption from Egypt, but a redemption from sin and death. The Messiah has come, and the Messiah will come again, all in accordance with the prophetic biblical calendar. How is it that we have one holiday called Passover and another holiday called Easter? And should we celebrate one or the other or both?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I propose to you that there has been an unnecessary separation between the Jewish people and the church at large in terms of Passover, death, resurrection of Jesus season. I propose that some of our terminology like Easter and some of our customs like Easter eggs are not helpful. I propose that the best way to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus is within the context of the ancient Passover Feast of Unleavened Bread season. I propose to talk about all that today with you on The Line of Fire, serving as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Our Facebook community with lots of neat updates every day and questions where you can weigh in and share your views. Our Facebook community, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Join us on Facebook there. Okay, here's my question for you. Should we celebrate Passover, it's a Jewish holiday, that's one time of the year. Easter, that's a Christian holiday, and that's going to vary in the actual dates. And they're two separate holidays, and we should continue to do that because Jews have their traditions and Christians have theirs, and Jews as a people don't believe in Jesus, and Christians as a people do. Or should we simply clean up some of the terminology and custom? I mean, what does Easter actually have to do with death and resurrection of Jesus? Some would argue Easter has pagan roots, goddess Ishtar and all this stuff, and the Easter egg hunts, as fun as they must be. What in the world does that have to do with the death and resurrection of Jesus? Candy Easter egg, what in the world does that have to do with it? Now, you can absolutely differ with me on every point. You can absolutely tell me about the godly origin of the term Easter and the beauty of the Easter egg celebration. You can, by all means, weigh in. I want to hear from everybody on different sides. Perhaps at least, though, we should clean up the terminology and get rid of some of the unnecessary traditions and customs and put our emphasis on Messiah's death and resurrection, refer at least to Resurrection Sunday rather than Easter Sunday. Or perhaps everything should be, hey, look, there's one holiday that Yeshua celebrated. He didn't start a new one. He died at the time of Passover. The Passover meal would have been a Passover Seder. What we call the Last Supper, it would have been a Passover Seder, the meal on the first night. And then he dies on the Passover as the Passover Lamb. And 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, Messiah, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed for us. To Gentiles, he's writing. Therefore, let us keep the feast, speaking of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and get rid of the leaven. He's either speaking metaphorically, let's do this spiritually, or he's talking literally, get rid of the leaven. To me, the former is more likely based on the context of what he says. Let's get rid of the leaven of insincerity. Let's walk in truth. Let's purge out the unclean, ungodly things from among us. But certainly they knew about the Passover. Here are Gentiles. They knew about the Passover. Jesus came into the world not as a reverend, but as a rabbi. His mother's name is Miriam. His name was Yeshua. His disciples had names like Yochanan and Yaakov. And yeah, so maybe we should just, whenever the Jewish community says this is Passover season coming up in just 4 days roughly beginning in the Jewish community, and then Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday follow a few days or in the midst of it, and then a few days after on the, quote, Christian calendar. Maybe we should just roll everything into when Israel celebrates the Passover. That's when we need to do it. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll tell you about some of the early controversies in church history over the first few hundred years, where the separation between Passover and Easter came about, let you know about some special resources we have to help you, and some other updates of interest. All of that, you bet, coming your way right here on The Line of Fire.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I crossed a line here. When I pointed out the first hour of broadcast today, which different parts of the country get, and you can listen to later in the day at AskDrBrown.org by clicking on The Line of Fire, I happened to mention that the word Easter is a mistranslation in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. It is the Greek word Pascha, Passover, as it's rightly translated everywhere else. It's just a mistake. It has to do with the Jewish Passover season, nothing else. There was a mistake, and the New King James corrects it, and virtually every English translation other than King James, modern translation, has it correct. Everyone that I'm aware of serious translation. But I crossed the line. Guess who sets the record straight? Chick Trax. Yeah, Chick Trax claims, I just sent this link by Marcus, our producer. Pascha is properly translated Easter in Acts 12:4, as the following explanation will show. The only problem is the word explanation applies to actually explaining something as opposed to making things up. Oh boy! And it claims this is proof that the King James is perfectly inspired. Hey, listen! I memorized more verses out of the King James than any other Bible I've ever read. And my most wonderful, joyous times in reading the Scripture as a new believer, reading the King James over and over. I have great love and esteem and appreciation for the King James, but it's not a perfect translation. I was just sitting with Nancy last night and said, "Hey, look at this verse here in the NIV in Jeremiah the second chapter, and the words Ko Amar Adonai, thus says the Lord, are actually missing." This is what the Lord says. We're missing. The new NIV translation gets it correct, but it was a translation error. I spotted it during my Jeremiah commentary. Every translation I've ever looked at carefully has something you could either dispute or something you could actually say is an error. This was an error. Anyway, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. By the way, I used a lot of Chick Trax when I was first saved and gave them out to people, and thank God for the good content in them, and just reject the stuff that's not accurate. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. We're discussing Passover, Easter. Here was the controversy in the early church. There were many that continued to follow the practice of celebrating the death and resurrection of the Messiah in the context of the Passover celebration, and that came when the Jewish community said this is the time for the Passover because you had to coordinate dates and things like that with the Jewish calendar. It doesn't follow a solar calendar but a lunar calendar. There was another part of the church that said, no, we don't want anything to do with Jews. They killed the Messiah. They killed God. We don't want anything to do with the Jews. Here, John Chrysostom, one of the great leaders in early church history, said this: the synagogue is worse than a brothel. It is the den of scoundrels, the repair of wild beasts, the temple of demons devoted to idolatrous cults, the refuge of brigands and debauchees, and the cavern of devils. It is a criminal assembly of Jews, a place of meeting for the assassins of Christ, a house worse than a drinking shop, a den of thieves, a house of ill fame, a dwelling of iniquity, the refuge of devils, a gulf and abyss of perdition. Yeah, according to Christendom, God hates you, Jewish people. God hates the Jews. And he was a great preacher of his day, but his seven sermons against the Jews are horrible and hardly taught about in church history and seminaries. Oddly, strangely, sadly. In fact, Catholic scholar Edward Flannery commented that the pages of history Jews have memorized that the Christians have either forgotten or torn out of their history books. Constantine didn't want there to be a connection with the Jewish calendar and the Jewish people, and said, we'll celebrate when we do. And the fixed days, Friday for Good Friday, Sunday for Resurrection Sunday, that's the best time. That's a legitimate question if people want to discuss that, a fixed day, Friday, Sunday. My argument is let it be in the midst of the Passover season and ideally in conjunction with the dates of the calendar when Yeshua would have celebrated, because he didn't institute a new religion. He came to fulfill what was written in Moses and the prophets. This is a live talk radio program, which means you can be free to differ with me. And if you want to defend Easter eggs, you can give that a shot. I don't know how in the world you're going to defend Easter eggs in light of the sacred death and resurrection of the Messiah. But you want to give that a shot? My phones are open, 866-34-TRUTH. GE calling from Atlanta. Thank you for being on the program today.
Oh, yes, sir. How are you doing there?
Very good, thank you.
I'm driving, so hopefully I'm not getting a lot of feedback because I'm on my cell phone.
No, you're clear.
No, Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. But no, I agree with what you're saying about Passover. I think it should be celebrated, and because that's obviously what Jesus was doing when he had the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. But I think that the main reason why they have this this Resurrection Sunday is because Sunday was considered the Lord's Day. It's the day he rose from the dead, whether it was Saturday night or Sunday morning. So just to keep it on Sunday every year, that's why I came up with the...
Certainly
based on a lunar calendar, right? But I don't have any problem with Passover at all, though. But that's all I wanted to say, really.
Got it. All right. Hey, thanks for weighing in, sir. You know, I have no problem with saying, let us fix the celebration of the resurrection on a Sunday because he rose on a Sunday. And because that is a traditional time when people are gathering for a service, I have no problem with that being the day. Use it for outreach. Don't use it for some silly Easter egg thing. Come on. Don't. By the way, I don't preach at Fire on Resurrection Sunday because I tend to go after the extraneous things that are not central to the day, and you have a lot of non-believing people, grandmas in town who just gave an Easter egg basket to their kids and or grandkids and don't understand what the issues are. So it's a great day to evangelize because many non-believing people come because it's one of the couple of times they come a year to a service. So I'm fine with doing it on a Sunday, but let it be in the midst of the Passover season. 866-34-TRUTH. George in Jacksonville, what's your take, sir?
Yes, at our Bible church here in Jacksonville, Florida, by God's grace, we celebrate the bodily resurrection of Christ every Sunday, and we always make sure we read from the Bible in one of our responsive readings what the Bible says about the gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And certainly, in essence, we're concurrently celebrating the Passover because we who trust Christ alone for salvation, the death angel will pass over us. We will not die the second death in the lake of fire because of Christ.
George, do you celebrate communion or the Lord's Supper every Sunday?
Yes.
Or is that done? Okay.
Yes, we're planning to celebrate it this coming Sunday. And of course, that's one of the two ordinances the Lord left that certainly depict and portray and symbolize his death, burial, and resurrection, the other one being baptism.
Got it. And how do you feel about Easter eggs and that kind of thing?
Well, years ago when I was a young pastor, you know, I kind of harped against it all the time on Easter, but I've gotten away from that because lots of people are ignorant to the fact that Easter eggs and Easter baskets are not applicable to the real meaning of Passover, the real meaning of Easter, you know. So if somebody bring a basket to church or some chocolate, I don't reprove it or rebuke it, but I just keep preaching the truth that it's all about Christ who died, shed his blood, and rose again.
Got it. All clear. Hey, George, thank you so much for weighing in. I appreciate it, man.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
God bless you. All right, let me grab another call. Doug in Kernersville, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. Me too. I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Good Friday and the 3 days and three nights in the tomb, and as especially as it applies to Jewish traditions and customs, because, as you know, Passover comes, and then the day later comes the first day of unleavened bread. And they were in a hurry to bury his body because of the feast that was coming up, the feast, first day of unleavened bread. And so, if he died on, when he died, and then the next day they buried him, 3 days and three nights would have brought us, especially as some people say it could have happened on a Wednesday, and then Thursday would have been the day of burial instead of Friday, then you would have gotten 3 days and three nights into the equation rather than the parts of days and parts of nights that most Christians
celebrate now. Yeah, there are two ways of looking at it, Doug. That's why some people try to argue for a death on a Wednesday, and then you have the three full days and three full nights before his resurrection early Sunday morning. That would be one way of looking at it, and he does say 3 days and three nights. The other way is that the way that you would calculate, even when you say days and nights, it just was a figure for a day, and that any part of a day counted for a day, so that he would have been in the tomb part of Friday, part of Saturday, part of Sunday, therefore three days. That's how people would argue that would hold to the traditional view of a Friday crucifixion. I don't even argue about that point either way, because that's not the significant one to me. But that would be the one way of looking at it, either that each part of a day was counted as a full day.
Well, I understand that. I'm not arguing that. I don't argue it, really.
Yeah. No, thanks for raising it. I'm up against a break here. Sorry to cut you off. Up against a break. But thanks for raising the issue to discuss for clarity, not for argument. Thank you, sir. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can I take you back in history a little bit? Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, there was a controversy. Gentiles were coming to faith, and there were Jewish believers who said, unless they are circumcised and obey the law of Moses, they cannot be saved. Remember the controversy? Actually, the last recorded words of Peter in the book of Acts are that we're saved, we and just like them, Gentile and Jew, they like us, all saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. Those are Peter's last quoted words in Acts 15. So in other words, you don't have to become Jewish to be saved. A Gentile can be saved without becoming Jewish, right? Things changed, though, haven't they? Haven't they changed over the years? 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown, coming your way with joy here on the Line of Fire, talking about Passover, Easter, two separate holidays, one holiday. Do we incorporate Easter celebration into Passover? Should we not use the Easter word, just refer to Resurrection Sunday? How do we tie this in? 866-348-7884, online, AskDrBrown.org. Things have shifted so dramatically, friends, that originally it was understood this is a Jewish faith, this is for Jewish people who are now embracing the Jewish Messiah, and now more and more Gentiles start coming in, and there's a controversy. You have to become Jewish to believe in Jesus. I mean, after all, Yeshua is the Jewish Messiah. After all, he's coming in fulfillment of what's written in Moses and the prophets. After all, he didn't come to abolish but to fulfill. After all, his death takes place at the time of Passover, and then he resurrects on the first day after the Sabbath, which is then first fruits, and then sends the Spirit at Pentecost, Shavuot, Feast of Weeks. It's all Jewish. Fulfilling the promises given to Israel, the new covenant was made with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, was it not? So are you telling me then that a Gentile can be saved without becoming Jewish? Yes, yes. And that's the revelation that they got in Acts the 15th chapter. And if you're a Gentile follower of Jesus, you are exact equal in terms of stature, status, with a Jewish believer in Jesus. There is no division there. There are male, female, Jew, Gentile, that we exist like that in the body, and we may have specific roles and functions, but we are equally loved, saved the same way, and part of the same spiritual family. And if anyone tells you, my friend, as a Gentile follower of Jesus, that you have to become Jewish in order to be saved, or that you have to take on Jewish tradition or custom, or that you have to be circumcised, or that you must obey the law of Moses, or that you must observe a seventh-day Sabbath, or that you must observe the biblical holy days, they are putting you under a yoke that God never intended for you to be put under. Shake that off. Yeah, I imagine, just demographically, not by a prophetic word, but just demographically, that a number of you needed to hear that, based on the many, many e-questions we received, that a number of you needed to hear that. That being said, boy, did things change in history. Boy, did they change dramatically, to the point that when a Jew gets saved, the person is expected to become a Gentile. I can't tell you how many of my Jewish-believing friends, when they got saved, someone was going to check out, whether they were really saved. How? By giving them a ham sandwich. I'm not kidding you. Say, if you're really saved, you eat pork. Here, in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, I have baptismal formulas from the Middle Ages where Jews were required to, in order to get baptized, they had to completely renounce every Jewish connection. Here, let me read some to you. This is from my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, which we have as a special resource offer. In fact, I'm looking through painful page after painful page here. This is from the chapter, Are You a Crusader for Christ? Oh, how about this? I do here and now renounce every rite and observance of the Jewish religion. This is to get baptized, a Jew to get baptized into the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages. And the Protestant Church committed its sins as well. I do here and now renounce every rite and observance of the Jewish religion, detesting all its most solemn ceremonies and tenets that in former days I kept and held. We will not associate with the accursed Jews who remain unbaptized. We will not practice carnal circumcision or celebrate the Passover, the Sabbath, or the other feast days connected with the Jewish religion. With regard to swine's flesh, we promise to observe this rule that if through long custom we are hardly able to eat it, we shall not through fastidiousness or error refuse the things that are cooked with it. Another these are baptismal formulas. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth, friends. I renounce the whole worship of the Hebrews, circumcision, all its legalisms, unleavened bread, Passover, the sacrificing of lambs, Feast of Weeks, Jubilees, Trumpets, Atonement, Tabernacles, and all other Hebrew feasts, and on and on. I absolutely renounce every custom and institution of the Jewish laws. In one word, I renounce absolutely everything Jewish. That's to be baptized. These are documented baptismal formulas. In my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, if you don't have it, may I urge you to get it? It is the most translated book of any book I've written. Translators have written to me in the midst of it saying they translate it with weeping and wailing and cries and tears because of the pain of translating the book. Translated into more languages than any book I've written continuously in print since 1992. If you don't have a copy yet, by all means get a copy. We've got a special resource offer today. The book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, together with my TV show, Think It Through. The episode is Christianity Jewish. Next half hour, we'll be playing a clip from that, an interview with the Messianic Rabbi Sam Nadler, as we talk about Passover and Easter. But it's a great DVD. It's a 20-something minute program, really interesting to watch, and then a great tool to give out. So you can get the DVD and the book at a special price today by calling us at 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Ask for today's special resource offer. It'll really help you. It'll answer lots of questions. It'll be eye-opening. And then within the book, we've got lots of further references, resources for further study. And we also have online my Jewish Roots class, which you can find out about by going to Ask Dr. Brown and clicking on the online bookstore there. Okay. When we come back, we'll sort out a few things. I appreciate what our brother said earlier from Jacksonville, that he used to rail on Easter eggs and things like that. He's a pastor. I'm not. Okay. So I understand people come in and give you a chocolate Easter bunny and you're, that's not biblical. What are you doing? And it may just hurt someone who was doing something sincere or the 5-year-old kid that wondered what they did to get you so upset with them. I'm talking now on a broader level here as the host of a radio program that goes to lots of different homes with lots of different people from different backgrounds, including Messianic Jews and their congregations and people from all different walks of the Christian faith and brothers and sisters from denominations and non-denominations, where we are one together in Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. And I'm simply challenging our thinking. Since the word Easter itself is not a biblical word, and some would argue it has pagan origins, whatever, just put the origins of it aside. Does it convey a holiday associated with Easter egg hunts and just the spring and things like that? Or does it clearly speak of the resurrection of the Messiah? Why not speak of the death and resurrection season or the Passover season, which is biblical, and then celebrate specifically Resurrection Sunday? Why not call it that? Don't put the emphasis on Easter eggs and stuff like that. Oh, a whole lot more to come, including the prophetic significance of the biblical calendar when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, Passover, Easter, together, separate. Do we get rid of Easter terminology? Do we talk all about the Passover? Do we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus in conjunction with the Passover season? And should there be two separate holidays? That's our focus today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Okay, who said this? This is a quote as to why Christians should celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, not in conjunction with the Jewish Passover season. Who said this? It was declared to be particularly unworthy for this, the holiest of all festivals, to follow the custom, meaning the calculation of the Jews, who had soiled their hands with the most fearful of crimes and whose minds were blinded. In rejecting their custom, we may transmit to our descendants the legitimate mode of celebrating Easter, which we have observed from the time of the Savior's passion to the present day, meaning according to the day of the week, a fixed Friday, a fixed Sunday, as opposed to a date like December 25th for Christmas. We ought not, therefore, to have anything in common with the Jews, for the Savior has shown us another way. Our worship follows a more legitimate, more convenient course, the order of the days of the week. And consequently, unanimously adopting this mode, we desire, dearest brethren, to separate ourselves from the detestable company of the Jews. For it is truly shameful for us to hear them boast that without their direction we could not keep the feast. It will still be your duty not to tarnish your soul by communications with such wicked people, meaning the Jews. Who said that? Constantine. That's right, Constantine, who helped sever even more deeply the church from its Jewish roots. And Paul warned in Romans 11, writing to Gentile believers, as the apostle to the Gentiles, one of the Gentiles to make his Jewish people envious by demonstrating the life of the Messiah and the presence of the Spirit and the covenant realities, by demonstrating that the presence of the God of Israel was in their midst, that forgiveness of sins was theirs, that the reality of the Messiah's death and resurrection had been appropriated by them to thereby provoke the Jewish people to envy. Instead, although Paul warned the Gentile believers there not to be ignorant, which would then lead to arrogance, the Gentile believers over a period of centuries severed to a great extent, if not completely, Jewish roots. Do you know, and this is both a Catholic and a Protestant issue and beyond, do you know that there was a pope who was considered to have Jewish blood and he was removed? There was controversy over it, and there was an outrage. There was an outrage that a Jew should sit in the chair of St. Peter. Do you know that? I've got the documentation in my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People. That being said, is the goal to just go back to Passover? If we just go back to Passover celebration, if that's our goal, just go back to Passover celebration, well, where do we put the death and resurrection of Jesus? If we're just going back to Passover celebration and doing that along with the Jewish community, what about the death and resurrection of Jesus? Where does that fit? How do we combine them? Should we combine them? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. That's what we're talking about. I'm going to open up the prophetic significance of the biblical calendar and give you my views on this as well. But, okay, I've just gotten some requests about this. I was on the phone again last night and then today with Amazon. A manager at Amazon said to me something fishy is going on. I watched 7 5-star reviews disappear yesterday. 7 positive reviews disappear. Amazon claims that they can only be removed if the content is offensive, if it breaks the rules, or if the person themselves removes it. We said that's not the case. They were looking into things with me, told me something fishy going on. If you haven't written your review there, write it, post it, and then make a screen copy of it or note some things about it so that we can help track it and get to the root of this. Also, if you haven't weighed in, there are a lot of bogus reviews, negative reviews, many or almost all from people who didn't read the book. Go to Amazon.com, A Queer Thing Happened to America. That's the book we're talking about, to be clear. And make it clear that those unhelpful 1-star reviews, negative bashing reviews are unhelpful because almost all of them didn't read the book. Something fishy. Interesting.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right. We are stirring up some important issues as we come to the Passover Easter season. Here is my take, all right? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. There is no good reason for a calendar separation between the two. There should be one holiday, period. That's the first thing. There should be one holiday, and that should follow the Jewish calendar. And within that holiday, our great focus should be not only the liberation of the Jewish people from the bondage, or the people of Israel from bondage in Egypt, but more importantly, the death and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah. He should be central, and it should be done within the Passover season, and the Jewish community should understand that Easter is not some separate holiday. And I personally avoid the term Easter. It has no meaning for me as a Jew. I prefer something that communicates, for example, emphasizing the death and resurrection of the Savior, the Lord. He must be central in all that we do, but there should not be a separate holiday, as Constantine and others argued for, and as well documented. 866-34-TRUTH. But I want to say again, feel free to take issue with me. Church historian, pastor, leader, believer, concerned, Messianic Jew, whoever you are, if you want to take issue with me, that's why we have live talk radio to have a discussion. Shirley in Atlanta, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, once you become a Christ, you'll realize there is no difference between Passover and Easter. See, this is the see what you're saying is great, but I'm just thinking that we as Christians who have embraced Jesus Christ and the blood that now embodies us, when you do that, there is no Easter or Passover at all. He is our Passover. He is the blood of the Lamb. And so we don't have to dither over those little one, two, three things. See, Christ said that the children of the world are wiser than the children of light. You are a child of light. I am a child of light. You came from a Jewish background. I came from a black background with a lot of Jewish blood in him. And so here we are. And so there is no difference. What you don't understand, you will not understand that through a book. You will only understand that through the spirit of the word. And the letter of the word won't work. And yes, the Jewish people will be provoked to jealousy. Just look at what Syria, the fellow in Syria, Gaddafi, is, you know, the 12th Imam. He's got this movie coming out of what have you. Even those people know that Jesus is significant. Even they know that.
So Shirley, let me just ask you a question, Shirley, just to understand something. Absolutely, okay. You and I are one in Jesus. Absolutely, yes. We're part of the same larger family. Absolutely, that's in our personal lives, we should have something in the Lord that provokes non-believing Jewish people to jealousy. My question is to you, do you think that there should be no celebration of special days at all?
The days are insignificant, and of course, Jesus was opposed to the Jews having, you know, days and seasons and moons and what have you that they were celebrating. And I think what happens is once you get through the New Testament and you realize the New Testament's in you, it doesn't matter. I don't care if the children hide eggs. As a matter of fact, I was in an office one time, and it was during the Easter season, and I was doing a temporary job. Of course, couldn't get fired because I was doing a temporary job. So I bought some Lifesavers, and I filled little plastic eggs with Lifesavers, and I gave them out. Well, that's a message in itself. Here you've got the egg that bursts open, and you got Lifesavers in it. It's called Jesus.
So you were using that to preach. Hey, Shirley, listen, I appreciate you calling.
Well, thank
I'm jammed
you.
With calls.
I love your show.
And thank you for weighing in, and thanks for sharing your heart. And, we are united by the same blood. You bet. Thank you, Shirley.
Amen. Thank you. Bye.
God bless you. Listen, I know many of you have a lot more to say, but in fairness to as many as possible, try to get to the gist of what you have to say so that we can hear from as many of you as possible. Jacob in Kanaohe, Hawaii, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you doing, Dr. Brown? I will try to get to the point as quickly as possible, and by the way, you just said. I'm a recent convert to Eastern Orthodox Christianity. I don't usually get to catch your show, and I tuned in today, and it's been a very interesting conversation. I just want to let you know, in case you weren't aware of this, I know most people aren't, in Eastern Orthodox Christianity, it's actually not referred to as Easter at all. It's called Pascha, which mm-hmm. is the ancient Greek for Passover.
Yep.
And the entire season is actually the Paschal season. I mean, we use the Greek term.
Yep.
But it's just an interesting bit of trivia into the throne of the conversation that there really actually hasn't been a kind of breaking apart of the two, at least in Eastern Christianity. It's always been referred to as Passover
because
Greek language.
Right, because it goes back to the Greek, and there's more of an emphasis in Eastern Orthodox Christianity to be faithful to Jewish roots in certain ways. When
Absolutely.
When do you celebrate it? The same time as the Jewish community, or the time that say the
we
the,
do we it Saturday evening. It's actually at about 11:30 on Saturday evening is when the Paschal service is held. And it lasts for a couple hours, and then we reconvene Sunday morning to celebrate the liturgy and whatnot. But, yeah, again, another great point. It's very similar to a kind of a Jewish time frame as far as the way things are done.
Got it.
Yeah, it is. But so, yeah, just an interesting thought that, it is Passover. It is Passover. And I'm not really sure the history where the term Easter came from. I've heard lots of different things. Jesus is the Passover lamb. The entire season is the Passover season. There really isn't a kind of distinction there. And then real quick tidbit that's really interesting as far as Easter baptism stuff, though. I haven't heard anyone say this yet, and I'll make it brief. A lot of that has to do with, like, the Lenten season, how you're not meant to eat dairy and eggs and stuff like that for 40 days. And so that origin of giving people baskets of eggs and things like that, while there's a lot of, like, explanation in there for the gospel and stuff like that, a lot of it had to do with the fact that people were giving each other presents of dairy, meat, and eggs because they just fasted from it for 40 days.
Yeah, the question would be, of course, where did the idea of the quote, Lenten season come from? And, that's another later tradition. But, hey, Jacob, thanks for weighing in with an Eastern Orthodox perspective all the way from Hawaii. I appreciate it, sir.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
God bless you. All right. Look, the word Easter in Acts, the 12th chapter of the King James, is a mistranslation. It is in Greek, Pascha, and it should be translated Passover, as the New King James does and every reliable modern English translation does, and probably just about every translation around the world recognizes it means Passover, period. The question is, though, should we have a calendar? Should we have a calendar that on regular times of the year we celebrate certain things? Isn't that important for teaching children? Isn't that important for transmitting the faith from generation to generation? Isn't that part of why God gave the biblical calendar to the people of Israel? 866-34-TRUTH. Bob in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, I think you want to weigh in on this very question. But Bob is gone. Bob did want to say that holidays are important, if I read the screen properly. And I believe to the extent you can have life-giving expressions, not just something you do because you have to do it, but life-giving expressions that glorify the Lord, that bring the family together, and that are used to teach truth, that is tremendously effective. People look forward to it as opposed to dread it when it's life-giving. It is used didactically. It is used to teach and instruct. And look, family customs, rituals that have life to them do become something of an anchor to a family and to the transmission of the faith from generation to generation. hey, Joey, let's play that quote from the interview with my message. Well, we better do this after the break. I'm going to run up against a break here. Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, my book on anti-Semitism in Jewish history, the most translated book that I've ever written, continuously in print since 1992, maybe the most eye-opening book I've ever written, and the Jewish Roots of the Faith, God's Eternal Purposes for Israel. Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, together with my Jewish Outreach TV documentary, Think It Through, the episode, Is Christianity Jewish? both resources available today at a special price by calling 1-800-278-9978. That's our special resource line, 1-800-278-9978. These are some of the most eye-opening resources that you can possibly get, one to read, the other to watch, and the one to watch, pass on to friends, believing friends, non-believing friends. It's a great tool of instruction, very interesting viewing as well. 1-800-278-9978. Can I just thank each of you standing with us, our supporters, our torchbearers in different cities. Be encouraged right now. Everyone I'm speaking to across America and in other places, you're part of that. You're part of the reward. Together, we are making a difference.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, let's do a brief recap before I go back to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. Online, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Click on today's show for a lot of relevant resources to the program as we talk about Jewish roots, Passover, Easter. 1 Corinthians 5 emphasizes verse 7, Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So the death of Jesus clearly associated with the Passover, of course, as the Gospels tell us. He then resurrects when? The day after the Sabbath, which is the first fruit celebration. Leviticus 23 lays that out. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of Messiah as the first fruits of those who rise from the dead. What do you know? Then when does he send the Spirit? The next major day on the biblical calendar, Shavuot, Pentecost weeks. That's when he sends his Spirit. According to Jewish tradition, that's when the law was given on Sinai. That's now when he sends his Spirit. Then I'm giving this condensed form without all the other interesting background. Then fast forward a few months after a big gap in this calendar. What is it? Trumpet blast, the Feast of Trumpets, first day of the celebration of trumpets, the first day of the seventh month. What does it say in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, reiterating what's in Matthew 24? Trumpets. Jesus comes back with the sound of the trumpets. That's right. And then next major thing, 10 days later, Day of Atonement, cleansing for Israel. There you have it in Zechariah 13, his return in Zechariah 12, national cleansing for Israel in 13, followed by what? Sukkot, Tabernacles, last holiday on the calendar. And when is that? Zechariah 14. Gentile nations coming to worship God in Jerusalem at Sukkot, Tabernacles. The biblical calendar is prophetic. God's not finished with Israel. The calendar is still unfolding in front of our eyes. Okay, I'm going to get to a few calls very quickly, beginning with Jimmy in Richmond, Virginia. What's your take, sir?
Leviticus 23, the Lord said, these are my feasts. To keep these. There are times and seasons in which the Lord does things, and if you look at the history, it's a pleasure speaking to you, Dr. Brown, for your research would show that oftentimes during these seasons of the feast, the Lord is doing something in the spiritual realm that's unique to the time and the season. And even as you gave the scriptures just now, there were certain times that things have taken place that would show that Jesus was the Messiah, and even in his return, as we continue, it's not mandatory that we need to do the feast, but our eyes will be open concerning the simplicity and the practical understanding as to what's happens during the understanding of exercise of the feast. So I just wanted to leave that with you.
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. Yeah, I'm with you in terms of there's no way that it's right to tell the whole body you are required to keep the Feast of Israel, but absolutely we should understand the prophetic significance and the spiritual significance and should recognize when they're happening during the year. I'm with you. Thanks for calling in, Jimmy. I appreciate it. Deborah in Maple Grove, Minnesota, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks so much, Dr. Brown. Just want to let you know I totally agree with your take on it and really agree with a lot of what Jimmy just said, and it's a matter of loving the Lord. And my gosh, after what he did for us, let's do it the way he said and in a way that honors him. And it just so enriches your faith and your walk with the Lord to walk it out according to the Word of God, the Hebrew calendar, and just it's so rich. And I really missed so much of that in my upbringing, growing up and doing the Easter thing And now, oh, now that I have the truth and I'm doing it his way, it's just, it's loving him better and being closer to his heart. It's great.
So you're celebrating the whole Passover season, Passover unleavened bread, but doing it with Jesus Yeshua as the central point.
Absolutely. It's like on Passover, it's like I take communion and I'm reading those scriptures, and it's just so rich. And even last night I was reading the scriptures that, you know, in those days leading up to the Passover, you know, you can just line up your relationship with God and read his word, and it just becomes so rich. And then, yes, I hate the word Easter, so I celebrate Resurrection Day on, you know, and it's just so rich.
Got it.
And,
well, yeah. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
The key thing is Jesus, Yeshua, his death, resurrection, being central and being biblically grounded in our roots in history. Thanks for calling in. All right, one more call. Mike in Akron, Ohio, what's your take?
Yes, sir. I agree with the previous callers. I'd just like to expound on that a bit, that if we take the Bible as our authority, then we have to look at what Jesus did. And he celebrated Passover, and he was our Passover. And throughout the Old Testament is nothing but a shadow of the Messiah. Times, seasons, feasts, they all tell the story of salvation through Jesus Christ. And when Christ talked to his disciples, telling them that you should not teach traditions of men as doctrine, what do we think he was talking about? Obviously, Easter, and we can even get into Christmas, where there's rooted in so many pagan symbols.
So you're saying then that this would be, because I'm looking at the clock and we're about out of time, Mike, but I wanted to get your call, that just as he rebuked some of the religious hypocrites in his day who were Jewish, he would rebuke religious hypocrites today who were Christian, or just to say to any of us, just like man-made tradition that obscured the word was wrong then, man-made tradition that obscures the word is wrong today just as well. Hey, thank you for calling, Mike. Out of time, unfortunately. Well, I mean, it's good. We're filling the time. Again, the special resource offer that'll really help you, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, The Tragic Story of the Church and the Jewish People, The Shocking Story of Anti-Semitism in Church History, Carefully Documented, Undeniably True, God's Eternal Purposes, Past and Future for Israel, Jewish Roots of the Faith, all in one book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, together with the Is Christianity Jewish TV show. Oh, I still have time. Play that clip, Joey. We still have time.
But you have, I mean, you do have, like, Easter services, right?
We wouldn't think of it. We don't think of Easter as being very relevant to what Bible teaches. You're not going to find Easter in the scriptures. You're going to find Passover, though.
Well, what's Passover got to do with Easter? They're two separate holidays.
As it turns out, but the fact is that the Messiah died for our sins on Passover, and during that Passover week, there's another biblical holiday called First Fruits, and Jesus was raised from the dead on First Fruits.
So when you say biblical holiday, you mean a later Christian holiday that the church started?
Well, no, actually a holiday that's found in the Hebrew Scriptures and that Paul refers to when speaking about the resurrection of the Messiah.
That was my interview with Messianic Rabbi Sam Nadler in the show Is Christianity Jewish from my Think It Through TV series. You can get that DVD, Is Christianity Jewish, together with Our Hands Are Stained with Blood by calling 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. You can also become a monthly torchbearer by calling that number, 1-800-278-9978. Here's my bottom line. Jesus, his death and resurrection must be central. If you are able to incorporate that into the Passover season and do it in conjunction with the Jewish calendar, all the better. That has biblical roots, and it will further identify our faith in Jesus Yeshua with the Jewish people and perhaps even more provoke our Jewish friends to jealousy. However, if the Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday schedule is sacred to you, as long as Jesus is central and he is exalted, and as long as you do not separate that in your thinking from the Passover and Jewish roots, so be it. Keep him central, hold to your roots, and let's move forward.